Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow up with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, final hour of the show live from the Auction Community Studios. It is the Wolf and Luke shows. We still try to process what exactly happened on Sunday. And really, Wolf, for like the last week of the season with the Phoenix Suns. And maybe our next guest could give us some insight on that. Phoenix Suns radio analyst Tim Kempton joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Tim, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Gentlemen, Wolf, what's up, brother?
Man, I'm hanging in there, big guy. I really am. It's very, very difficult, of course, with the Phoenix Suns, and I know you feel that even more than I do right now. When you consider what happened with the Phoenix Suns against the Dallas Mavericks, where do you begin, Timmy? What is your first thought?
The first thought is just, you know, obviously they lost something going into the playoffs. They were obviously the best team in the regular season. They played that way all year long. We never saw them, you know, have those lulls for more than a game. You know, if they played bad, we always talked about their composure and their ability to move on from that and get back to Suns basketball. We never really saw it for any extended periods in the playoffs. So to me, that was the most frustrating thing, is not seeing them play to the best of their ability.
Talking to Tim Kempton. Tim, yeah, I think we're all with you on that. They ended up finishing the season after the start of April. They finished 9-10. Now, some of those games were the end of the regular season. They weren't really very meaningful at all. Do you think that played a role?
I disagree with that statement right there completely. Wolf, I don't know how you felt, but every frigging game that I ever got to play was meaningful to me. I don't care if you have an 82-game schedule, you have a 182-game schedule, you have a 2-game schedule. Every freaking game was meaningful to me. I don't agree with that statement right there. And maybe that's where, you know, the discrepancy came in. If you treat them like they're not important, like they're not meaningful, then that's what happens when you need to step up and turn a switch on and make them meaningful. I never took that. I've never had that thought about any game I've ever played in my life.
Well, do you think it hurt them then that they were 8 games ahead of everybody else? Because you don't typically finish that far ahead of anybody, or everybody, I should say, in the regular season.
Well, I don't care if you finish 1 game, 2 games, or you're behind. You keep on, you keep playing. You play to your strength. You play out to, you know, why not make it 10 or 12 games ahead of everybody? If that's your team, if that's who you are, you know, I get this whole idea of you have to be healthy. You have to be, but you got to be ready. You got to be playing your way. I think they lost a little bit of who they were in that last week or so.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that to me, because once again, I mean, players play. That's what you do. You know, I mean, you're going to go out and you're going to play. And I don't want to get into the particulars of it all, but I'm with you on that one. Let me ask you about Chris Paul. Tell me what happened, Tim. What happened with Chris Paul?
Well, I think both teams, and we start with New Orleans, and kudos to, you know, to their coaching staff. Their coaching staff knew Chris Paul, and they went at him very physically. They wore him down, and then Dallas just and that's Willie Green. I apologize, Willie Green, the head coach. Right. Of the New Orleans Pelicans. Willie was on Monty's staff. He worked closely with Chris Paul, and they went at him physically. They wore him down. And Jose Alvarado, you know, the bigger defenders, Herb Jones, and then, you know, you get into the series with the Dallas Mavericks, and they continued it. They put Reggie Bullock on him. They were very physical with him. And from what I understand, I haven't seen it, but I guess there was actually an interview in that came on the broadcast that Chris said he was tired, you know, going into that game. So, you know, I think they just wore him down physically.
Man, you know, honestly, though, it didn't look like that to me, Tim. It really didn't. And the reason why I say that is because it wasn't. He wasn't looking for a shot. He wasn't being aggressive. It seemed like it was more mental than it was physical to me.
Yeah, well, you and I both know, Wolf, how hard it is to look into someone's head, their mental approach and everything. And maybe it's kind of twofold. Maybe it was mental in Chris saying that, you know, I just don't feel it. I don't have it in my legs. I don't have that push. I don't have the burst that I want right now. So physically led to his mental state of, well, let me try to do it differently because I just don't feel good physically.
Talking to Tim Kempton. Tim, there's going to be questions now about what to do with DeAndre Ayton just because of where his contract is. Where did you see him improve this year?
Well, let's face it. DeAndre is a very talented young man. He fits in what you want to do in today's game. He doesn't need the ball to be effective. Wolf and I have joked on and on about this off air. DeAndre shoots the ball very well. He faces up. He has the ability to go on the perimeter when you're switching defenses and guard smaller players for short periods of time. He does a good job on the pick and roll. We saw him be very effective rebounding the basketball. I think the biggest thing that you always want from players is consistency. Do what you do well and do it consistently every night. And he's still a young player, so you expect that to improve. But he's got a lot of talent. He's got mobility. He's got size. I think he's very good in the NBA basketball game the way it is right now.
So, Timmy, are you going to give him a max contract? Do you think that DeAndre Ayton gets the max?
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
Right.
And to me, Wolf, you and I both know it. In football and in basketball, I mean, you look at other players that are making $80, $90, $100 million. And then if you're comparing to those guys and you see how effective that DeAndre Ayton is, you know, then you see it. But when you hear that verbiage of max or supermax, everybody goes bonkers. I mean, there are guys that are making, you know, $100 million a year. And because the max tag isn't put on it, you know, let's say DeAndre's max, I think, at 4 years was like $135 million. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of the verbiage that everybody's getting caught up in. Oh, he's a max player. I think for what he is and what he does and what he brings to this team, whatever his number is, that's his number. Call it max, call it super max. But I would. I do not know if the Phoenix Suns are going to. I don't know the relationship between the Suns and DeAndre Ayton right now. But because of his talents and the way that he fits with this young team, age-wise, skill-wise, I would.
Tim Kempton, great stuff as always, man. Thank you for the time.
Great talking to you guys. Have a great summer.
Right on, Timmy.
That's Tim Kempton joining us right there on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. We come back. There are already a lot of rumors about the Suns potentially adding a big name this offseason. Just how different could the Suns roster look? There's a lot of questions. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.